morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading us in worship and in the study and exposition of God's Word again today. Pastor and Mrs. Otero are still in Argentina and are expected to return about March 28th. The special congregational meeting has been put off now until Sunday, April 1st. The meeting is to present for your consideration a property proposal concerning a building site for a new church building. Negotiations with the seller are still continuing. At the 3:30 Searching the Scriptures class this afternoon, there will be an open discussion again on the topic of your choosing, and whatever you wish to initiate, so bring your questions, and Pastor Tomlinson will again be leading the search to find the answers in the Scriptures. Please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon, and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week and next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 109, verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Continue our worship with hymn number 32, Blessed Be the Name. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 325, More Like the Master. Thank you.
Before we begin, before we enter into prayer, I just wanted to make one more announcement I forgot to tell Joe about. The children's 3 o'clock, 3:30 class this afternoon will not be there. The teacher is sick, so pray for my daughter. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are yours, and we stand in awe of you and of your grace, of the mightiness of your presence and the power of your Spirit and of your Word, that it enters into the man, into man, and transforms him and changes him and makes him something new. And Lord, I pray that you work in each of our hearts and minds to draw us closer to yourself, that we would be more like you. Lord, I rejoice that you have called us together to be here in one place, that we would be the children of God, leaning and trusting on the very Word of God. And we know that your Word accomplishes its purpose and its goal, and it brings about your plan and fulfills it to the T. Lord, I pray that you be with our pastor in Raquel in Argentina and bless their time there. Encourage their hearts and strengthen them. Give them the rest and the rejuvenation that they need to come back to us again. That with power and with might, your Word would be proclaimed. And Lord, I pray that you be with Deborah Mills and with her mom, Norma. As Norma had 3 stents put in, Lord, but you blessed and allowed that to occur safely. And that, Lord, it is amazing what you have enabled men to figure out and understand about these bodies that you have created, to give us wisdom, to help us to live life in a way that we can continue to serve you, honor you, and glorify you for many years to come. So, Lord, I pray for your Spirit to lead and to guide and to bless. We also rejoice, Lord, that Luis is back and he's here with us. And the bacteria that was in his leg, Lord, you helped that to be under control and the pain diminished, and we rejoice in you. And for Romulo having his 2nd eye surgery, Lord, and praise the Lord that he is here and he is doing well as well. We thank you, Lord, for your hand of blessing and peace. We also lift up to you the missionaries that we help support, your servants throughout the world. We remember Fred and Carol Lewis that are now in Pasadena, Carl and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, and Eusebio and Marixa Perez in Malaga, Spain, David and Denise Rose in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Martha Peretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Dante and Maruja Rabinas in Iquitos, Peru, Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica. We also pray for those that are near, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey of the Motorsports Ministries. And Lord, I know that Daniel is out this weekend, and so pray, Lord, for your provision to him, to guide him. And for each of these missionaries, that they would stand firm in your Word and bring it forth with power, with might, with truth and authority, that lives would be changed because of the Spirit of God. We also thank you for your great provision of the offering and pray for its blessing to your ministry, your service. And we rejoice, Lord, that you are gracious to us and that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1230. We will be reading Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 32. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 32. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, when we consider these tremendous words of Scripture, we can only praise you and thank you for the promises given us, and that you knew us before the world was. We thank you that you have revealed by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures those things which were formerly great mysteries but are no longer mysteries but clearly explained. Words seem too weak to express our gratitude for such love and mercy, for having delivered the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer the penalty due sinners such as we. We pray for Pastor and Mrs. Otero for their safety and that they may accomplish those things in Argentina according to your purpose. Again, we thank you that Pastor Tomlinson, whom you have entrusted with your word, will be teaching today. Bless him in that work, we pray. Bless all of us listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD. Bless us with understanding and the liberty of obedience. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you very much, Joe. And thank you for allowing me to be here today and to talk with you a little bit about the image of God and being more like Him. Now, with this series that I've been working on, discussing the image of God, we started off looking at in Genesis chapter 1, so let's go back to there, page 2. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, they give us the foundation information of what it is that we're talking about, being about the image of God. And in verse 26, it said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so we're going to look at how it is that we have been created in the image of God. And when God is talking about we're created in His image, He's talking primarily, He's looking forward into the nature of His character, reflection of Him. And last week we took a look at our soul and our spirit and our body, how they are corrupt and breaking down and there's basically nothing worthwhile there. And yet God redeems them and will bring them back and restore them for His purpose. And so we're going to look at our life What is the aim of our life? What is our goal or our future? Let's go over real quick and take a look at page 1265, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. So the page numbers that I give are for the Bibles that are in the pew, and they are new. This is the second week we've had them here. And so far, they look pretty good. Haven't seen any broken bindings. Great. Wait another week. 2 Corinthians 13:5. So as we go through this passage, through the lesson, through the words of God today, the Scriptures, let's have this mulling through our mind. Scriptures tell us to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be examining ourselves and say, how do I measure up? How do I fit in all of this stuff? And so, as we bring forth the Word, we're going to take a look at aspects of our life, who we are, and what it means to be made in His image. You know, as growing up, a lot of us have our heroes that we set up in front of us. People that we want to be like. Maybe someone wants to be, you know, like Michael Jordan. Man, the guy can fly. I don't know how he can leap from one end of the court to the other and not touch the ground, but it seems sometimes that he can. Some people want to be like some of their football players, Joe Montana or Jerry Rice. Date myself a little bit. And so they want to be like some of these people. Maybe they want to be like a president or maybe Albert Einstein. Yeah, to be like him. And so we set these goals, these images in our minds and says, that's what I want to be like. And that's who I want to be more like. And so I'm asking us the question, what is it that we want to be like? Because I will tell you and I'll show you as we look at, let's go back to our passages in Romans chapter 8. We're going to look in verse 29. As a child of God, as a Christian, what is my future? What is my goal? Who is the true hero that I will become like? It's not going to be a Michael Jordan. You'll never be like him. You will never be like any of the presidents in our history. You will never be exactly like any of the theologians, and as many of them are great. But look at what it tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, that's you and I, Christians, children of God, him he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're going to be like him. You know, sometimes we think about, you know, we're going to make some cookies. But we want to make cute little shapes in the cookies. Or some candies. Chocolates, you do this. My wife makes chocolates a lot. And she pulls out her molds. She sets them on the counter and heats up the chocolate. I'm sure the chocolate loves that. And then pours it into the mold. And the chocolate takes the shape of that mold. Nothing extraneous. And nothing, no holes, no shallows, nothing missing. But it fits into that mold perfectly. And so we are going to be conformed, we are going to be placed into the mold of Jesus. So what I want to look at is try and gain an understanding of some aspects of this. One is I want to understand, what does that mean? We're going to be conformed to His image. What does it mean? Then I want to take a look at its life. How does it manifest itself now? And then I want to take a look at a few things, if we can get through them. Where are we? Understanding its location. Where am I in this continuum? Because there's this perfect image of Jesus Christ that we will be conformed to. And there's this depraved sinner which has a defiled body, defiled soul, defiled spirit that we looked at last week. Concentrated on that. And somewhere in between is where we'll find us. Hopefully not on this end where we still haven't figured out we've got a target. And so let's get into the Scriptures and figure out How do we understand the meaning? What does it mean to be conformed into the image of His dear Son? So we're going to take a look first at being His presence. So if we look at Colossians chapter 3, page 1284, we will be His presence. The Scriptures tell us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." He says, when Christ, who is your life, your life is hid in Christ. When people look at you, what do they see? Do they see just another guy? Just another lady? Do they see someone who is, no different than they are? And, hey, let's go see that latest and greatest movie that's coming out. Yeah, I know 45 minutes of the 52 were naked people running across the screen. Who cares? But it's got a great plot. Huh? But see, it's not so much avoiding those things because, hey, I'm godly, I don't do those things. No! I refuse to do those things because God says so. I don't want to be involved with that stuff. I don't want to do what you're doing. But what I want to do is honor my Lord. I want to become more like Him. I want people to look upon me and say, man, there's a person that's been with Jesus. I can talk to Him about anything and He does not condemn me. He does not try to destroy me and tear me down, but He tries to build me up. Remember what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery? He didn't stand upon her, look upon her, and rail her for her sins. But He said, they don't condemn you. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. He didn't reject her sin, didn't cover it up and pretend, it's nothing. But He didn't dwell on it. Identified it and said, you know it. Now let's move forward. We're to be His presence. People are to see Christ in us. We are to be hid in Him, that people may see Him and know Him. But we're not just hid in His presence. That's part of what it means to be conformed to His image. To be hid in Christ, to where people look upon us and they see Christ in us. But in John 14:12, it says we're to follow His example. On page 1170, John 14 has a lot of great passages in there. We're going to look at John 14 in verse 12. Jesus is speaking with His disciples. This is His last few minutes before His arrest, His last few hours and moments. And He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." See, Jesus didn't say, look, I set a high standard, and man, you don't even have a chance. So I'm going to tell you what. You can't reach the sacrificial life, that's okay. Do the best you can. And man, as long as you try, that's okay. But what He does say, he doesn't lower the standard and say, oh, you're doomed to failure anyway. Well, just be a nice guy, all right? But instead, He says, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do. The works that Jesus does, we will be able to do. He will empower us. He will enable us. And if we think, which we'll look into a little bit later, what is it that Jesus has done? And how can I do some of those things? But see, He doesn't limit it to the bar that I set. You can meet that through me, He says. But He says, the works that I do, you will do, and you will do greater. We will be able to and enable to do greater things than Christ. And we had a few weeks back and during the 3:30 class, we were talking about, this doesn't make sense. How? I mean, how many of us are Jesus? Yeah, same number of hands that raised the last time I asked this. And yet we do greater works than Him. And that's His point. Because we are these rotten sinners who have no hope. And yet He enables us to speak life into people. He enables us to bring His Word of God and say, look who Jesus is. To bring them to the Father. To bring them to the cross so that they can look upon the cross and say, my sins are there. See, it's easy for Jesus to raise people from the dead. He's God. But for us too. Now that's a miracle. And yet He's empowered us to do greater things because we come from a deep pit. And yet we get to stand and gloriously praise the Lord and be used of God to raise people from the dead that they may know Jesus and may have life. So to follow His example, the works that Jesus did, we get to do also, and greater works. It's incredible to see the word of God work in people. The guy on the bus that I go when I travel back and forth to work, a guy on the bus, and I've been talking with him a little bit here and there on the Word of God. And about 6 to 8 weeks ago, he had a smile across his face about this big. And he says, I surrendered to Christ this last week. And I'm like, oh, man, this is great. Praise God. And as we started talking, he said, oh, man, I got a problem with my neighbor. They're Christians, and boy, the entire neighborhood can hear when the Father and the Son are going at it. And so he talked to the family, and he saw some lives turned around. A place where he was rejecting God, rejecting Christ, to be used of Him to restore a relationship. To return a sense of godliness into a house. Following the example of Jesus Christ. So, we're going to be in His presence, to be in His image. We're going to go look over at Matthew chapter 20. We're to follow His example, do the work that He has done, accomplish His glorious purpose. And then we're to measure up to His examination. Matthew chapter 20, verses 22 and 23. Two of the disciples of Jesus come up to Him. And let's start in verse 21. It's James and John, and they come, and the mother says to him in verse 21, grant that these, my two sons, may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now that is a great request. You are the king. You are the ultimate king. And man, when you give them in your kingdom, can one of my boys be your right-hand man? And the other one of my boys be your left-hand man? They be your two guys, and they'll be there everywhere you go. And then look at verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Oh boy, is that a loaded question? And I really, do you think they analyzed the ramifications of that question? Because here they are. They stand and say, they stand to Him, we are able. No problem, Jesus, we're there. And Jesus says, I'm just imagining Him smiling at him right now. He's saying, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Look at Jesus' response. You will be baptized with my baptism. You will drink of my cup. Man. Think about His baptism, His death, His burial, His resurrection. His sacrifice. And for Him to say, yeah, and you get it too. You know, looking back at it, I'm sure if they would have known and understood what was coming off, they would They wouldn't come with him, and if they would, remember if they did, and Jesus says, "Can you handle it?" Probably not, God. See ya. I mean, let's get real. See, we have the ability to look backwards and see Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' baptism, Jesus' cup that he had to drink. And we get to look at it and we get to ask ourselves, can we do that? And in all honesty, it's not a chance. But God says you will. Why? Because we've been looking at it. We will be conformed to his image. We will be made like him and where Jesus leads. We will follow. So that's understanding its meaning. We're going to be his presence. We're going to follow his example. We are going to measure up to his examination, to his standards. So how do we apply this? How do we understand its life, its outworkings, the reality of it? We're going to go to Romans chapter 6, page 1228. Romans chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Paul is talking to us and explaining to us about our life. Romans 6, verses 10 through 12. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. See, God has enabled us to be dead to sin. Notice he doesn't say, absolutely positively sin no more. You sin, you're out. But he said, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Consider yourselves dead to sin. That sin does not reign. You don't take a look at your life and say, you know, it's just the way I am. No, hey, I'm just a guy. I'm just like any of you. I'm just like anyone else. And yeah, I got Jesus and that's cool. But, you know, this stuff of being obedient, yeah, it's a little overrated. And the stuff about sin, well, geez, hey, you know, sin's gone now. It's not there. Oh yeah. Look at your life. Look at my life. I mean, I just look in the mirror and say, man, Lord, you love me. You love this. I mean, I do what I can. But God says, reckon yourself dead to sin. Those words you used to use, you know, those funny jokes that we all laugh at. Get away from us. Clean up. And reject it out of your life. Turn it away from you. Refuse it. And don't follow it anymore. Walking down the street. And you see some nice, pretty young girl walking down the street. And you're walking down and, whoa! You know? Come on, guys. How often do we do those things? He says, reckon yourself dead to sin. Put blinders on so that the only thing that you can see is Jesus Christ ahead of you. Sin behind you, Jesus in front. I don't want anything else of this world. It means nothing. It accomplishes nothing. It brings about nothing but death and destruction. See, we reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ, alive to God through Christ. And we're to be righteous-minded in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. He says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. What is righteousness? Let me look at the Word of God. It will be fulfilled in you. It is to be fulfilled in you. Our lives are to be a reflection of His holiness, His righteousness, to be a reflection of Him. That we would look, and as Paul says in Romans chapter 9, Lord, what will you have me to do today? Because this is not our life, but it's His. It says, righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. We are not to walk after the flesh, but we are to walk after the Spirit. We're to think about and concentrate on the Spirit of God and what He says to me and what He desires of me. Not turning to the left nor to the right, but pursuing righteousness. It's also a picture of self-sacrifice. Our life is to be a self-sacrifice in Luke chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24 in page 1120. And so we are to be conformed to His image. He is dead to sin, we are to be dead to sin. He is alive to righteousness, and so must we be. And then in sacrifice, verse 23, Luke chapter 9. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Sacrificing of ourselves, denying ourselves what I want, what I desire, what I deserve. It's real easy as a man and as a husband, as a Christian husband, to say, you know what? My wife's going to submit. And that's her job. And I'll make sure it happens. But that's not my job. My job is to love her. Yeah, but what is she? Real mean and nasty. Yeah? And so are you to Jesus. How nasty could we have been to Jesus, or have we been to Jesus? And yet He pours His heart out to us and says, come to me, because I love you. Come to me, and I will give you life. And yet, in our own nature, our own characteristics, how many times do we look at the presence of God, and we look at our own lives, and we say, oh, I failed again, but that's okay, God loves me, and I'm just going to go continue with what I was doing. Instead, God says, come to me. I love you. And I know we're not always the nicest people on the face of the earth. I'm just looking at me now. It's nothing about any of you. I'm just looking at me. I know I'm not the nicest guy on the face of the earth sometimes. Other times I can be downright and rude. But God still loves me. And He says, oh, wait a second. What you doing there? How are you talking and why are you talking to my child like that? You know, you're talking to me. There's a story about a seminary. And they had a dartboard up on the wall. And they said, the assignment was, okay, we're going to play some darts today. Draw a picture of the person that you really, really dislike, despise, you hate. So a bunch of people were drawing pictures and making them real ugly and real gruesome, putting names on it and all kinds of stuff. And says, okay, now hook it up to the board. And so they put the pictures up on the dartboard. Here's a dart. So they're starting to throw the dart. And man, they're getting all their anger and their frustration out on this. And they're just ripping apart, ripping to shreds these pictures of these people. Class came to an end. The teacher took the dartboard, turned it around. It's a picture of Jesus. You see, when you are tearing apart another, you are tearing apart Jesus Christ. Because we are made in His image. We are His children. Every one of you is His children. Those people out there, God made them. They have rejected them. Okay? God still made them. They still belong to Him. Self-sacrificing. Are we willing to deny ourselves? Deny what is right for me? Pick up our cross. What is the trouble that God has placed in your life? And you just pick it up and say, God, You've given this to me. Praise be God that He has shown me my cross. Some people might have, like we talked about, a bad relationship. Some people have very severe physical ailments. Some people have people they work for that aren't the nicest people. Some people have students that they teach that aren't the nicest students. And yet God has said, pick up your cross. Bear it. Carry it. It's not for another to carry. It's yours. God has given that to you. And use it for His honor and His glory. We're going to take a look at a couple of things to evaluate ourselves. We've been going through some of this. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1060. Page 1060, sorry. Matthew 18, verses 23 to 25. Matthew 18, 23. We often wonder, what's the kingdom of God like? Well, Jesus gives us an example here. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Talent is basically more than a day's wage. So he's got 10,000 days. He's got a lifetime of a debt. It says, but for as much as he had not to pay, he couldn't afford it, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Hardly anything at all. It'll be like someone owes me $5. And here's what he did. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not. And went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry or grieved, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest now thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth with him and delivered him to the tormentors that he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one that his brother their trespasses. If we take a look at those people that sometimes, they really make me angry. They have sinned against us. They have called us names. They have belittled us in front of others. They have just for the fun of it seemed to take their car and run over something that belongs to us. We drop our phone and they see it. Oh, cool. Move it underneath the tire. Vroom, back over it. Man, not good enough. Vroom, go back over it again. Oh boy, we want to get even. But what has Jesus Christ forgiven you of? We take a look at our lives and say, how have I treated my Lord? How have I treated my God? What could anyone possibly do to me that would be in comparison to what I have done to my Lord? And yet he said, I love you. I forgive you. Forgiveness is tough. Because naturally we don't want to forgive. We want to see the person get what's due to them. We want to see what's coming. They deserve it. I just have to remember to look in the mirror and say, yeah, but what do I deserve from those that I have sinned against? It's real easy to get upset and say, well, they haven't gotten it to them. Yeah. And so do we. And God says, you deserve it? Rightly so. But I'm not going to give it to you because I paid for it. The cost has been covered. All charges are forgiven and we push off to the side because I paid it. Do we serve others? Go to Luke chapter 22, page 1142. Luke 22, verses 26 and 27. I'll start in verse 25. Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief is he that does serve. For whether is greater, the one that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. How do we serve others? You know, I've had people talk to me about others and say, yeah, they're sinners. And I'm a sinner, I know that. They're a sinner, I'm a sinner. But I don't have to serve them. I don't have to give them any honor at all. Because they don't deserve it. Scripture tells us to become their servant. Who is the nastiest person among you that you, oh man, you go miles out of your way to avoid? I'm trying to figure out how to apply this to my life. I've got a teacher that's not exactly my favorite of teachers. He teaches you one set of stuff, and then asks you about something completely other, something else. I'm going, how am I supposed to pass this test? And yet, God has said, serve him. Yeah, but he doesn't deserve it. I don't care, neither do you. Serve him. How do we serve others if we view them as being beneath us, or even on par? If they are the same as me, I don't need to serve them. I mean, we're just co-workers. We're just co-laborers. You know, when you go to work, and one of your co-workers comes to you and says, hey, Joby, I want you to go do this, this, and this, and that. Yeah, right. Talk to my boss. Right? That's what we do. Go talk to the boss. If the boss says go do it, then I do it. But he's the boss, not you. And so, we don't want to serve others. And yet God has called us to. But I want to look at the level of service. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, page 1279. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. So let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look upon the world. Look at the person to your left and to the right. Esteem them, value them better than you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about the magnitude of what Jesus did. He is the King of glory. He is the Creator of heaven and earth. He's sitting upon His throne in heaven. And yet He looked at us. And He esteemed us enough to don human skin. Enough to walk among us. To enter into our world. To live the obedient and perfect life. That placed Him upon the cross. He lived that life for us. He gave His life literally for us. He esteemed us worthy, not because we were, but because He chose to. He esteemed us as incredible value, the most precious commodity He had, because He wanted to. Nothing in Him said He had to. Nothing said in Him said he must. He was obligated to. He chose to. Purely by His grace. Well, we're in the book of Philippians. We're over to Philippians chapter 3. Verses 10 and 11. And this is Paul's prayer. This is his desire of his heart. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Lord, make me worthy of Your sacrifice. Make me worthy of Your resurrection, that I may live my life holy and pleasing unto You. That when people look upon me, when You look upon me, Lord, You'll say, well done. You have done well. You have been worthy. And that was Paul's prayer. Lord, that I may live, that I may be worthy. That every step I take, every breath I take, every word I use would be to Your honor and Your glory to lift and praise You up. Because You are worthy. Make me be worthy. And we'll wrap this up with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. If we are to be more like Jesus, Paul prays, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Praising our Lord, serving others. Let's pray. Father, You are holy and righteous. You are pure. And You have called us to be Your children, to be Your ambassadors, Your servants, to share with people the hope that we have. Lord, You have told us in Your Word that we will be conformed into Your image. Let us not wait for the eternity, but let us start now. Humbling ourselves before You and giving of ourselves to others, that the name of the Lord would be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Redeemer, this is my constant.
May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.